Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. Today, I am excited and blessed to have one of my newest friends who I met through the magic of local networking in person here joining us today. I'm so excited. Welcome, Nithal Parekh. How are you?
Hi, Andy. I'm really happy to be here and great to meet you. You've been such a connector and, you know, just a wonderful person to meet in the Pacific Northwest and Tacoma area. So really glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, a couple years ago, networking was that thing that I was just, I would never describe myself as a connector. So just to hear you say that, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Just because I really have had to work on learning how to get to know people and meet people. So it's been fun.
Yes. Yes. For anyone that's in the startup kind of arena of Tacoma, he's the guy to meet. He knows like everyone. He knows the infrastructure. He knows people. And he's one of the warmest people to introduce you to people and connect the dots. And that's actually, yeah, one of the things when you're new to a place, it's always wonderful to meet that person.
Thank you. And you're such a great addition to our community. So it was a pleasure to meet you and to keep seeing you at different events. So Nithal, what would you say, I like to open up with just kind of finding out where your gauge is on the world. What do you think is the most positive thing you see right now?
Yeah. I've been in the social entrepreneurship space for a while. So I love working with entrepreneurs and founders who are trying to create, or even just people that are trying to create social impact in their work. And one of the things that I think in a time when there's a lot of negative things in the news and in the world, one thing is I love seeing that people can create their content and share it with the world at like a primary level. So whether it's on like, you know, creating reels or on Instagram or on TikTok, I think there is something empowering about people seeing people, you know, use and express their voice. Can you hear that in the background?
I just heard, yeah, a little bit. It's okay. That's okay. It's Own Your Awkward. So we just go fun, right?
Yeah. But I find that really inspiring and exciting. And I feel like that has other challenges because people, you know, you're trying to maintain this social media presence, but just with the idea of being able to kind of connect with people based on things that you care about or believe in, mm-hmm. and finding other people who care about that and believe in it too. And I feel like actually lately I've been seeing this kind of rise in the social media kind of realm of people sharing just like little tidbits of advice, whether it's like, you know, advice on how to navigate the work world or your mental health or things like that. And it's like, I think it's so beautiful that people can create these like micro kind of pieces of content that they just think will help someone, even if it helps one person, you know? And mm-hmm. so that makes me feel like, hey, like there's good people doing good things out there. And, you know, and that's, I feel like that's a positive thing.
Yeah. I love that you call that out because social media gets such a bad rap, and there's so many ways that can take us down dark rabbit holes with all the comparisons and things, but it gives everyone a voice to the whole world, which we never had before. And if we use that voice the right way, like you said, it can be just, here's how to get through your day or here's how to not trip on a rock today, whatever that thing is, that is beautiful to see.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite person that you've been seeing, or I'm putting you on the spot now with that, but is there something or a certain style that you have kind of really clicked with?
You know, I've really been in this positive mindset mode. I think, you know, making this move to this, I moved from the Bay Area to the San Francisco Bay Area to Pacific Northwest. And I have a host of different skill sets, including law and entrepreneurship and authorship. I'm working on a children's book series right now. So I think it's a little undefined as I move forward and take each step forward. So I think really being in a positive mindset has been so critical for me. So I follow a lot of these accounts and things that have like positive affirmations or that kind of can reframe things and kind of put it in
Yeah.
a positive light. So Peaceful Barb, I will call her out. She's amazing. She and her daughter do
Right.
some content, but it's so thoughtfully done. And I feel like it whatever I'm doing in the day and I see her post, it makes me kind of reflect and see that, that through the lens of what I'm experiencing or seeing. And I think just that little reminder to kind of lift up your thoughts or kind of shift a down thought into a neutral or an up thought, I think can make your whole day go better, So
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for her account and all these other accounts. And I notice I tend to lately stay away from accounts that are, I mean, I get my news from other sources, but not necessarily from those sources because it's not, there's not much
Sure.
you can do when you're scrolling on social media. So I think just having a balance. So you want to stay informed about the world, but we're all creators. I mean, you're an incredible creator, and I think for me, I realize creation for me happens in a positive mindset mode. And so, just really protecting that space is important for me.
Yeah, it really is important to protect what you're putting into your mind. And also, as you said, being able to reframe and shift, because we are, you know, our mind, our feelings, our emotions, we're going to react sometimes into a mindset that we don't want to be in. But if we can be conscious of what we're thinking and what we're surrounding ourselves with, then we can take our mind into the space that we want to be. And it really does come down to, what am I putting in my head? Who am I listening to? What are the voices that are filling my ears so that it can be positive? Oh, that's beautiful. So you came here to answer this question. It's time. I got to know, Nital, what is your awkward that you have had to own in order to live your best life?
It's so interesting that we're talking about this now because I feel like I've just actually given a name to it this summer because I've been like listening to some audiobooks and understanding. And I think it's that there's a kind of a group of people or a category that maybe it's called like highly sensitive people or empath. I don't know if I'm an empath, but I think that on the spectrum of like being like how we receive energy or how we connect, I feel like I'm on the more sensitive side. And I think that's always been it's always felt like a negative, like, oh, you're either too nice or you take things too personally. But actually, I think I've and this is so perfect, and maybe even meeting you and learning about your company, but
I love it.
it's like you if you look at that as a superpower or a strength, it's like even now as I'm kind of getting into authorship and writing, being able to stand in the shoes of another or feel those feelings, it helps you write about that from that perspective as well, So I think and I think before you think, oh, I have to become like a little bit stronger or meaner to not meaner, but like kind of
Right.
but I think
Rougher
that's
around the edges or
yes,
something.
but
Yeah.
I'm almost now kind of playing in the space where how do you not do that, where you just have an open heart or you just kind of lead with that and find other people that kind of connect in that way. But I think it's something that I never had a name for, and I was always just felt like it's made me feel very different from people because I'm like I experience this and they experience this and they're fine and I'm still thinking about it or I'm still like like my mind is still, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, even if it's really good, I'm still like kind of reveling in that positive energy or, but I think it's, there's a great book by Anita Murjani, that, she had this near-death experience. She's kind of like a positive thinker, like kind of, she's written one book called Dying to Be Me, where she talks about her near-death experience. And she has a new one called, Sensitive is the New Strength
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to follow up with the actual name because I'm listening to it as an audiobook. But she really talks about this, and I think it's almost neat, like when you kind of hear about something and you're like, oh, actually, I kind of fit in that
Like
category.
that hits home, right?
And she's saying, like, she's like, I don't want people that are like kind of more sensitive to hide or not take on corporate leadership roles or not be leaders. I
Right.
want those people to be leaders, but just to equip themselves and surround themselves with the people and the resources to be successful. And so I think that's been really helpful. And it also helps when you kind of find you're awkward, you can recast your whole life and all of the achievements you've done or all of the challenges you've had through that lens. And sometimes it makes more sense that way, So I've done a lot of leadership work, but I've noticed I've done a lot of it where I'm the leader, I'm the founder, I'm the,
Okay.
so I
Yeah.
think it's helped me protect my space a little bit. And I've been in a few corporate jobs, but sometimes in those hierarchies, that's when maybe you know, being sensitive or being more empathic can be not always a strength, because you have to be like, you know, brush off and move forward. So I was just noticing some of those, you know, just some of those,
right.
You know,
I think that's so awesome, because, you know, I was came up in the corporate world with that idea that you had to be, you know, professionalism was rigid. It was no emotion, no humanity in it, which I feel like we're getting to where that's an outdated view of professionalism. And I feel like we've moved on from that. And perhaps it's just who I've surrounded myself with, because I haven't stayed in circles where that's the view.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I wonder, has the world shifted, or have I shifted my world? Like, which one's happened? But you said it perfectly, just this idea that we can take that thing and then relook at everything we've done. And now, how is that going to empower you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm, it's really exciting to be in this place, and to be in a new place, kind of flexing these new skills and this new understanding of self. And so, yeah, like, I feel like I'm excited to actually join a team and maybe be part of the workforce, but do it with this, like, kind of leading with this, because I think it's helped me connect with, with children. I'm working on children's book series, but also just with, you always find people and you realize that they feel comfortable coming to you if you're more sensitive, because they can, like, share, or they can be open. They don't feel like they're judged. So I think there's always a space for, for everyone along the spectrum. And I think, you know, maybe even just knowing that I don't need to be in a reactive space if I'm around someone who's not, maybe he's on the other side of the spectrum,
right.
Because I just can acknowledge that we compute differently. Our operating systems are different, I'm an iPhone, they're an Android. So there's no judgment of I should be more like them or they should be more like me. It's just that we operate differently, and then you can just kind of navigate it in that space, and then also just that connection, I think, to children and animals, like knowing that there is this, that there's a kind of a connection there, and to nature. The one beautiful thing about being in this area, especially in the summer, is that there's so many hikes and nature walks, and nature's such a great place to ground, and even like to, if you know, to like, I don't know, it's a really recharging kind of energy. So it's even as I'm understanding this new aspect of myself, it's great to go into nature and feel reconnected, and then feel like now I can come back into the
right.
the real world and kind of operate there. So
yeah, it's great here because you're an hour from getting into the mountains and an hour from getting to the ocean, but just 5 minutes from getting into the woods, no matter where you are. You
yes,
can just always
absolutely
get
I love that.
I think, you know, something you said there about it doesn't have to be judgmental about how someone thinks, you know, what works for them. And it's true, because, you know, when someone is saying, oh, you can't be so sensitive, or that's not the right way to be. Well, that's not the right way for them to be. Like, that doesn't work for them. And that's not maybe their definition of how they need to act. But we can't take that on ourselves. And we have to be able to say, well, in my realm and with what I'm equipped with, this is what empowers me.
Absolutely. And I think when we model that in a assertive, like in a kind way, it also shows others, because others may have whatever their awkward is, but if theirs is the same as ours, it models a way to navigate the world, to move the world in that way, rather than like when you see the reaction, you often see things that are like angry or reactive or those kinds of things, but that doesn't help someone to kind of figure out how they're going to navigate and be their whole selves,
right.
So I think it's good. And I think really kind of going back to the positive things, I think I kind of maybe started putting the dots together as I started seeing these really positive accounts, because I was like, oh, I'm drawn to these accounts. And I bet a lot of the people that create that kind of content are also sensitive people, they're sharing all of this content. And I think that kind of put me on this journey of like, oh, I kind of connect with them, and the advice that they're saying is really relevant. And that kind of put me on a journey to let me like learn more about this and, read this book and kind of see if I fit in. And so I think in a way, I feel like when we take away the fear of like looking into ourselves and, and kind of even whether it's in solitude or through, I don't know, therapy, whatever it is that you choose to look into yourself, I think a lot of amazing things can come out of it. And if we're not fearful of, oh, I hope I'm not this way, or I hope I don't find out that I'm, but you know, there you can find, and then the great thing in this world is you can find communities that share some traits with you, and you can, you're not alone, you know. So I think that's really nice.
Yeah, that can be the hope that I hope, you know, I hope I'm not whatever, fill in the blank. Sometimes I equate it to movie characters where you're like, oh, I hope I'm not the, you know, and then fill in whatever favorite character or character you don't want to be from a movie, whether it's the
Yes,
villain or
yes.
the victim or whatever that you don't want to be perceived by. So
Absolutely.
I'm curious, was there something, I mean, you moved here, you relocated, you had to create a new community. Was there something, was it that or something different that really sparked you realizing that this was a thing for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't, in my mind, they feel like they've just kind of flowed, but maybe there was, maybe being away from all the things that you, like I've been in the San Francisco Bay Area for the better part of 15 years. So I think, you know, you have all of your structures and people and everything set. When you go to a new place, you have a lot of like space, you know, in your mind also to create. And I think maybe in that you also kind of can, you have space to kind of like think about yourself in new ways, you know. And so maybe it's not disconnected. Plus, I grew up partially in Eastern Washington. I've been wanting to return for a while, just try it out again for a while. And so I think just this has been like a, I don't know if a dream come true makes sense, but like a manifestation of something that was an idea for a very long time, for the better part of maybe like a decade. Like I was like, oh, at some point I'll just go back and spend some time, and then different things happen and COVID happened and a lot of, you know. So I think even just being here, maybe like when some dream is realized, like there's a certain kind of calm around that. So maybe that in that calm, like it's helped also some with them self, you know, introspection, you know, and
Yes.
reflection as well.
Well, it's an interesting thought because when you enter a new space, you get to choose what you bring into that space, whether it's people or furniture or places you frequent. And so you do have that kind of opportunity to be selective on what you're filling it with.
Absolutely. So no, it's a special time. I would recommend anyone, if you can put yourself, it doesn't have to, you don't have to make a move like I did, but put yourself in situations where you can feel new again. There are so many things that can come out of that. There's a vulnerability, which is actually, I think, a really positive thing, because you have to reach out and make new friends and, you know, or kind of put yourself out there in a new way. There's a chance to kind of see yourself in a new light, and not like the person, I'm doing this because I've always done this, or, you know, it's you, there's no always, you're kind of creating some new patterns. And there's a chance to kind of grow in a new way, challenge ourselves in new ways. So a lot of my childhood has been moving, and so I think it's in my blood. It's, adaptability is one of my top strengths, and it's, we grew up, I probably moved 20 times before I was 20, like all around the US, somewhat internationally. My dad's a civil engineer, so I think that feeling of being new is kind of familiar, or it doesn't feel foreign, you know, but it feels kind of, but I haven't been new in this way in a while, because I've been in the same state for a while, you know. So it feels kind of, and it's not new totally. I've been in Washington, but I've been on the eastern side, but there is something really nice. And I wonder how you think about it too, with kind of your work with owning your awkward and being like new somewhere, how those things kind of connect.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought about it from this perspective till you brought it in front, in the forefront. But I always feel that anytime we can make a physical change to kind of support or, you know, complement whatever change we decide we want to make, it forces us to come in line with it. Like, you know, even just if you, like you said, you have to put yourself in a position to experience something new. So it can be as simple as, I'm not going to go to the same restaurant today and get the same food. I'm going to go to a different place, or I'm going to go to a hike in a different park. And now I'm forced to open up and look better. And I think it forces us to have awareness because when we're in the same places, same routines, we stop looking around because we don't have to be on alert. We don't have to explore. We don't have to find anything out to go through whatever we're going to go through. If I go on the same hike in the same place, which I do a lot of times just to get my exercise in, but I really don't have to look around because I know where the trail is going to go. I don't really have to pay attention. But if I'm somewhere else, all of a sudden, the same kind of trees I appreciate so much more on a new trail because I'm having to look at them and see the detail and make sure that I know where I'm going and that I'm not taking the wrong path.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Now I feel like I know the answer because you're just beaming here, but how has it felt since you've come through this the last few months?
Yeah, you know, it's felt really, it's exceeded my, I didn't really have, I tried to come with no expectations, but it's been, I feel so like, I don't know, like lucky and grateful for like meeting folks like you, the startup folks in Tacoma, being able to write. I mean, now I'm at this point where it's been a few months, so there's a few things that are like the practicality, a few things have to come if I want to stay longer. So that's where like, it's because of, you know, leading up to this, it's been like doing all the work that I came here to do, and like connecting and having, and also exploring nature and stuff. So I think we're at that edge, and it's also the end of summer now. So you know, so I think it's a little bit of that of edge, but I'm just kind of welcoming it because I'm taking steps of whatever I can do to kind of, you know, to make some of that make sense, to stay longer, and to move like from this authorship phase to the next phase of being here. But I guess you just have to have an open mind, and like I've come here with such an openness in this journey, so just be open to what is in store and what the next steps are. But this is definitely one of the most, I don't always live my life this, you know, this unplanned, but it's just right now that's kind of the phase it's in, because there's so many projects in different stages of happening, and some, a lot of these things can happen remotely, so it's like interesting now for a lot of people. Anywhere they are is a choice because they can do a lot of what they're doing from anywhere they
Right.
want.
Yeah, and there is a freedom in that adventure of spontaneity where you remove the security of, well, I know I'm gonna be here from here to here, and I'm gonna do this for this time, and all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and all the stuff, to where you say, you know what? Let's see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, and as long as we're open, it's almost like I feel like I'm surfing sometimes. Like the you don't know what kind of wave is going to come, but all you do is you'll respond to it, you know, on the board, you know. So I think right now it's almost like, yeah, there's so many different directions that things can go, but so much growth has happened and so many amazing things are happening. So yeah, everyone just stay in that energy of it. Otherwise, the alternative is it won't get me there any faster, you know, to
Well,
start
and you
there more.
mentioned, stepping into it with no expectations, and it's something I've really learned to do the last few years is to, I found that all of my disappointments came from expectations. Like, I had this plan, it had to be a certain way, I expected it to be a certain way, and that the reason why it was bad was because it didn't fill my expectations. And it doesn't mean that you don't have standards. You can have where you need to be, where who your friends, how they need to act, and how you're going to be treated, and what your boundaries are. But when you have this, oh, I'm going to go do this, and this is all of these fruits are going to come from it, or 500 people are going to show up to this event, or whatever it is, that all that does is set you up for a bigger disappointment versus, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this for whatever it is, whether it's 500 people or five people or one, we're going to enjoy the time we have together.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Now, you've mentioned this authorship and these children's books you're working on. I'd love to hear a little bit more.
yeah, I would love to share them. So yeah, you know, like I mentioned, I'm really passionate about social entrepreneurship. So I've written a book called 51 Questions on Social Entrepreneurship, and that's really for adults, or a lot of students use it too. And it's about legal structures, business models, measuring social impact, and how to build a business that where social impact is prioritized. Well, I also have nephews. They're now 5 and 8, and I've been close to them since they were born. And I've got to see how they play and how they think about problems. I even at their young age, they things like climate change and other societal issues kind of weigh on them. And I see that, and I'm sure other children do too. And so I had this, I'm going in different directions, but I'm the founder of a company called Innovate Social, and that's our mission, is to make social entrepreneurship more accessible and actionable. So one of the things that we do is we do these events called Impactathons, and they're part hackathon, which is when you get people together, often in the tech realm, to build a like kind of sprint and build some really simple version of an app or a technology tool or product. But use more generally, it's just when you get people together to work on an idea or a business idea, you know. So the event that we do is is part hackathon, part like TED Talk or Impact Talk, where there's some talks about different social impact issues, and then part like workshops. Sometimes I lead the workshop and I kind of provide some framework on what social enterprise is. And then participants have a chance to build something over the course of 1 to 3 days, depending on how long the impactathon is. And we've done 20 of those, 19 of those, I think 20 of those around the US. And so this is more for most of the ones that we have done have been partnership with universities or foundations. So they're more adults. We've done high school Right. students as well. But as I started seeing my nephews think through some of these things, I felt like what kind of experience can we create for young learners? So I was actually part of this fellowship program called 4.0. And it's a really interesting, cool program to create programs and events and things for learners, for young learners as well. And then COVID happened. And so we were going to, this would have been maybe some kind of a live event. And when that happened, I just couldn't imagine Zoom being a place for these young learners to kind of, you know, roll up their sleeves and, you know, so, but a lot of people were reading with their kids or siblings, or, you know, and so that's how this kind of book series came. And they're all animals. So the first book is called Ali Alpaca Asks Questions. And we kind of think of it right now, we're on the third book. So we're thinking three books. We haven't released them yet, but we'll probably release the ones. But in the first one, Ali learns about asking really good questions, asking why questions to understand like a root cause of something that she sees. In the next one, Zara Zebra and Sammy Sloth, they build something. So like the creek that's in the town is polluted, and they want to swim and things like that. So they have to think about, they have to ask good questions. Why is that happening? And then they have to build something. And then the third one, Tut Tortoise, another character, he is going to pitch at the Pineapple Valley Fair. So there are all these little, so it's really just a simple way to kind of break some of these concepts that startups, lean startup, all of that is there, but really not use those big words and really just focus on the idea that young people, even young learners, you know, 3+, can see themselves as problem solvers. Because I think as we go forward in this unknown world, I cannot guarantee my nephews or any of the next generation that in their lifetime, water will not be an issue, that there won't be food shortages, there won't be like land issues and refugee. We see all these massive systemic issues. But what I do, so we can't promise them that, but I think we can give them tools to see themselves as problem solvers. So just like how I feel like I'm surfing here, you know, they can see those issues and feel like they can navigate, and they have some agency to surf or kind of, you know, to find their own way through. So that's kind of the bigger hope. With my first book, I independently published, so it's available on Amazon. With this book, I'm kind of going down the route of pitching to book agents and trying to go that path. And that is very humbling, very new for me. Well, so, so I think it's also, I'm kind of wanting to share this in a different way possibly, or we may go back to independent publishing.
Well, I'm sure we have some book agents out there listening.
So
you just click on the contact information in the description and you could be cutting edge, right?
Yes. Yeah. If you're passionate about this, I am. So we can talk.
What I really appreciate about that is that, you know, when we teach kids, you know, my children are adults now, and I remember when they were young, you have to learn to introduce ideas and conversations to them at the level that they can comprehend. But there are areas where we haven't been trained to do that, or we haven't thought to do it because we're facing those issues. So we're trying to come to grips with them. But this is great because it moves that conversation into that young age of, okay, you can solve problems. You can learn to ask questions. You could learn to be an entrepreneur or whatever it is you need to do. But at this basic level, you know, I felt like I got to be an adult, and then it was this big word, entrepreneur. And I thought, oh gosh, what comes with that? And sometimes I feel like it's one of the most overused words sometimes, where everyone just wants to put it in their title to feel, you know, good or like they're doing a thing. But to be able to introduce that to kids in a way that they can grow up just being told or telling themselves even, that's what I can do. It makes a huge difference. It's so empowering.
I think, and kids are, I mean, they often are natural problem solvers. I mean, if you ever watch a child like crawl from not being able to crawl, That it's like a problem solving thing there to learn how to use your to shift your weight to move forward. It's like incredible. And so I think when they're still young learners, they everything is still something that they're figuring out in the world. And so to kind of empower that quality that's innate in them is like, I think would hopefully have, would lead to wonderful adult, young children and adults as they grow up, and maybe just knowing that they have that. They have that superpower within them always,
Right. Yeah. It's like I believe, when my son was younger, I remember someone was always like, "Oh, you're a little stinker, you're a little troublemaker, blah blah." And I remember saying, "Stop calling him that, because I don't need him being raised, being told constantly." And I know that they were doing it in fun and it wasn't meant out of to be harmful, but I really believe that if you hear something your whole life, you're going to grow up believing that. And if you hear and are surrounded, from little on knowing that you have that power, that you can do all these great things, then why wouldn't you do great things?
Exactly.
But like you said, we don't know what problems they're going to face. We can't
We
control
don't
that.
know that.
Got to give them the tools. I think it really plays into what you mentioned earlier, though, about your finding your awkward as being that sensitivity, that it really shows in what you're doing, because you can pull that in and say, okay, this is what I can feel. This is what I might be nervous about for the world, for the youth. And that really is the essence of owning your awkward, when you take it and you say, well, I'm going to use that as a power, and I'm going to create a tool for people.
And that's a beautiful way of thinking about it. And I think it's sometimes when you see something and you feel like how that must feel for them, and then you say, well, let's do something about it. That's I think that's it's a beautiful kind of thing. So I think that is probably connection. Like when my older nephew, when he was maybe 6, he learned about Greta Thunberg, and he literally had us make signs, and we stood outside, and I just thought like that's incredible. It's just incredible. Like I was just so proud of him that he kind of saw something and he felt like I want to do something. And so I felt like all he's asking me to do is participate. That's easy,
Right,
So,
yeah.
so I kind of felt like, like at the right moments when we can infuse some of that validation, affirmation, and it's a lot to ask parents. Parents are doing so much already, just to keep
Right.
the household going or keep their kids. So I think maybe we can look to books and other things like that to also support some of that creative problem-solving mindset, some of that and characters, and I feel like we have the same characters aren't, and they're all friends. I love when your friends have often complementary skill sets or
Sure.
personalities. So the group in the books are all friends and they're all different animals, and so I think in some of that we can be more inclusive and not have to like inclusive of everything, right? Background, all of that, and then also just inclusive of how we show up in the world. I mean, these are children's books, so we don't get deeply into their personalities, but just
Right.
even having some different group, different differences of people, so that kids can say, oh, I kind of like Ali Alpaca, or I can connect with Antonio the Armadillo, or
Right.
so just kind of different characters for the kids to connect with as
Well,
well.
and that is one of the things that I love about what you've chosen to do, is it's not a dog and a cat and a squirrel or whatever. They're different animals from different parts of the world. Of course, the alliteration with the names is brilliant, which is perfect for a children's book, but it really shines through. One thing I'm curious about, when you to shift you back into your awkward space here. What when you started to realize that this is your thing, and I know it's recent, but you noticed that that's created different interactions with people, or that other people have reacted differently since you've just been okay with it?
I'm really close with my sister. We've done some podcasting together, and I think that I realized we both are this. Like, and I was
Okay.
that's why I always joke that I feel like my best friend was waiting for me when I was born. Like, she was already, my older sister's already there.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it's because we are also like similar in this way, and so I was just kind of noticing, just the people that I'm surrounded by, and and some of those things. So yeah, and I feel like I haven't. I'm still in this. It's so new to putting a word or I don't know, a label. I don't
Sure.
know what you think about. Sometimes maybe the awkward probably maybe people, it's a dynamic thing for people, so they may not want to put a label on it. So I, even for me, it's, this is the first time I've ever said it out loud in public. But so I think, but I'm curious now to see. I love sharing whenever I have thought about something enough, sharing it in whether my social media or my LinkedIn. I feel like maybe when you're a founder more, you just feel like just share it, like just say the thing that you know. So I feel like eventually I will share this and I'll be curious what people come back with, you know, and if they're like, oh yeah, like I kind of wasn't wondering about that myself, or oh, I see that you make more sense now, or you know, or something like that. But I haven't, like, I'm just starting to put words around it and starting to, you know, share it and stuff like that too.
That's a good point that as we share things, we give people insight into who we are. And so sometimes they might not have been able to label it. And not that everything has to be labeled, like you said, but it does help say, oh, now I understand this puzzle that is you. Or now I have a little clarity into maybe some things you've done that I've misunderstood. And now I see where you're coming from. And maybe we won't have disagreements as much, or I have a little more compassion for why you work the way you do.
And maybe it's also a chance for me to have compassion, because if we go through a situation and I think, oh, how come I handled it differently and they, or they didn't see it the same way I did, and I realized we just, it's just a different way of receiving information and like kind of processing it internally. And so, you know, I think it's maybe there's more of a acceptance, or you can even, I mean, I love, by the time you can get to something where you can laugh at it, like that's awesome.
Right, exactly. That's always the goal. I mean, how many times have we been in the middle of a tragedy and we've said, you know, we're going to laugh about this later. Like we might be stranded and not know how we're going to get out of this, but we know later we're going to laugh. So how quickly can we get to the laugh, right? That's beautiful. Well, I got to ask you, what advice would you give our listeners for how they can own their awkward?
You know, I really think finding, as you kind of start thinking about what your awkward is, finding resources that you trust to kind of help explain it to you a little bit, because nothing that we've done is new. Probably someone has experienced it, someone has written about it, someone. So once, if you find a resource that kind of validates you a little bit, or whether it's, you know, working with a professional, whatever that is, I think then you can start like kind of trusting the intuition around that, like, you know, finding communities that maybe share that, or you know. But I think it kind of helped me to, like, because you can read blog posts and those are helpful. It kind of starts, and then when you start maybe reading books or kind of just diving a little bit more, and then it gives everything a little bit of nuance. Like you kind of understand some of the more, you know, you can understand it more as a 360 kind of, you know,
Sure.
part. And we all have probably many, you know, awkwards or many things that are, I would like to think, are our superpowers too. But it's, I think looking at it from a playful, curious place, like, and that's cool. Like, how fun to be this age of having done so much with, you know, and then to say, oh, there's still something about myself that I didn't really, you know, I didn't realize, or I didn't put a word to, you know. So I think that's kind of a fun thing. So if you kind of can look at it with playfulness or curiosity, I think that helps.
Yeah, I love that idea that, but wait, there's still more about me. Like, how did I not know this yet? Or, like this kind of surprise that we can continue to grow. And I guess that's just a reminder that there's just always something still to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Nital. It's been such a pleasure to have you here. Pleasure to get to know you lately. I know we will see each other much, much more soon. And it's just been awesome to have you today.
Thank you so much, Andy. This has been such a fun conversation. I've enjoyed, I feel like it's been part of my owning my awkward. So thank you. And yeah, I look forward to more startup events, and I'm sure we'll be doing some cool collaborations and things, fun things together too.
Definitely. And of course, we all can't wait to see your books out there and get
Yes.
some copies for the
Me
nieces and nephews and all
too.
that stuff. Exactly. Well, thank you. And everybody else, be sure to share this story with your friends so that they can get a sense of how it's okay to be sensitive and how that can really make your day. And as always, be sure to own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.